Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FMV Sequence, a podcast that explores movie adaptations of popular video games, and we figure out if they're good or bad. I am your host, Jordan Pritchard, and who is with me today?
I am your favorite, Ashley Jones. I'm also probably at least one somebody's in this here listening's Evil X, so. Yeah.
And who else is joining us today?
That is producer Ben Anderson. And I am also obsessed with a girl that I dated like 8 years ago in seventh grade. I think I'm probably number three on her list, if I'm doing the math right. So
that sounds a lot weirder, even in joke form, than I think what you intended. that's weird.
I knew exactly how weird it was going to be. I prepared for that. That was the only intro I've ever prepared.
Well, it's the weirdest one you've ever done.
And anyways.
That brings us to our movie today, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yay.
Which is a little bit of a weird one, I would say, because it's not based on a game. It's based off a comic book series. But then it had a game come out that's kind of the game, kind of the comic book series, but then it's also itself very reliant on video game culture. So, but I just thought it would be fun. And also, Ben said he refused to watch it because Michael Cera is in this movie. So I said, oh, okay, you refuse? Well, now you have to.
Yikes.
And now I'm contractually obligated.
Yep, you
to
messed
watch
up. It. You shouldn't have said that. But, Ben, did you do any readings about this thing?
Yeah, because that's my job, and I'm a professional.
Okay.
So. Alrighty, let's get into it, pro gamers. I hope you're ready to level up on learning, because today we're going to be talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Based upon a graphic novel series of the same name, this highly stylized, action-packed rom-com follow small-town musician Scott Pilgrim as he wages two battles across the city of Toronto, one to try and score a record deal for his band, the other duking it out with the seven evil exes of his new girlfriend, Ramona Flowers. Directed by Edgar Wright and starring a heap of now-famous actors, not so famous at the time, a lot of up-and-coming, this box office sex bomb might not have done well during its theatrical release in the late summer of 2010, earning just under $50 million in total. I think it's about $25 million away from breaking even, so not super great, but it has gone on to be a beloved cult classic by critics and moviegoers alike. Now, we aren't just talking about this movie due to its homage to video game culture and how much it was heavily influenced by those beat-em-up or brawler games of, I'm assuming, the 90s. I wasn't alive during that time. I'm just guessing. But, there was also a video game released around the same time of the movie, around 2010, I think in September of 2010. That video game being titled Scott Pilgrim versus the World, colon? I don't know. Tripped up on that. Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I'm sorry.
Ass.
It is. There's so much. That's such a stupidly long title. It's so long. It's Scott Pilgrim versus the World, comma, the video game. It's a dumb title. I hate it. I never played it. Jordan knows more about the video game than I do. I could barely find anything online, other than the fact that it was released around the same time as the movie. It was developed in part by Ubisoft and then some company that Edgar Wright helped with. I think it was originally released in on the 360 and PlayStation 3, and it got taken off those stores, and then it was briefly put on to the Xbox One store in like 2014, 2015, and then taken off again, and then it was just recently re-released to go in, to coincide with the, I think, 2021. Yeah, it was the 10th anniversary of the movie, so it's been going back and forth. But that game is just a side-scrolling beat 'em up. You can play as four different characters. I think the game more closely resembles the graphic novels, if I'm right. Jordan, correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right.
But other than that, there's not a whole lot of like video game sales facts that I could find, at least not anything that was really concrete. So I know that game was pretty much an indie darling as well. Same with the movie. It's really got a good cult following, so the people who like it love it. Jordan including, I'm assuming. But That's all I got. So
and that's all the time we have for today. If you have any questions or comments...
Hey, what's up? I'll leave you alone forever now. You know this one girl with hair like this?
Yes, that's Ramona Flowers.
She's out of your league.
You know her? Tell me now.
She just moved here. Got a job at Amazon.
I have to order something really cool.
Scott, are you waiting for the package you just ordered?
Maybe. Scott Pilgrim? Hi, I was thinking about asking you out, but then I realized how stupid that would be.
That's okay. You just need to sign for this, all right?
So do you want to go out sometime?
I say yes, will you sign for your damn package?
So yeah, 8 o'clock? Come to this Battle of the Bands thing.
You have a band.
Yeah, we're terrible.
1, 2, 3, 4! Mr. Pilgrim! I'm Ramona's first evil ex-boyfriend.
What?
Wait, we're fighting over Ramona?
Didn't you get my email explaining the situation?
I skimmed it.
Mm-mm.
What was that all about?
If we're gonna date, you may have to defeat my 7 evil exes.
So what you're saying is we are dating?
I guess.
Does that mean we can make out?
Sure.
Scott Pilgrim!
Prepare to feel the wrath of the League of Evil Exes.
Ramona dated twins.
At the same time?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott.
Combo!
Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
What are you doing?
Getting a life.
You want to fight me
for her?
Why on earth would you want to do that?
Because I'm in love with her.
Scott Pilgrim versus the world.
Maybe next time we don't date the girl with 11 evil ex-boyfriends.
7.
Oh, that's not that bad.
No, that was good. Yeah. So have you guys played the game at all? I mean, Ben said he didn't. Ashley, have you?
No, but I've watched a lot of gameplay of it before today, actually. Usually I watch gameplay when you give me the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
I knew about this before because I was really obsessed with the author of Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, their other comic called Seconds. And it's about like a chef who is able to fix her past mistakes by writing in like a notebook with like a genie. It's really fun. I actually own like the actual physical copy, so I was really interested in Scott Pilgrim for a while. And the game is a lot similar to the art style versus the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I know about the game itself. But I know some facts. The game was quote unquote made in 5 months. That's not entirely accurate, but it was like you have to get this done very quickly. And that's interesting to me because we always talk about crunch time for gamers and our gaming industry people, so developers and all that. So yeah, I know a little bit.
Have you seen this movie before?
Yeah, I've seen this movie a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Ben hates it for whatever reason, but.
Yeah.
I never once said that I hated it. I said that I hated Michael Cera, so I refused to watch it up until recently.
Well, let's start with that. Ben, what did you think of the film?
I liked it. I mean, I'm not surprised that I liked it. I've been having people telling me for years that I need to just, just deal with it and, watch it anyways. But, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even have like a concrete reason why I don't like Michael Cera. There's just something about him that he just has a punchable face and it just something about him just rubs me the wrong way. So I've always avoided his movies. But despite all that, I really did like this film. I loved the style of it. I loved how goofy it was, how little it took itself seriously, yet took itself so seriously at the same time in regards to what it was paying homage to, how stylized it wanted to be. Yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I personally feel like it's one of the best like adaptations from like comic to film. You know, it's kind of all the things that you kind of want to see in a comic book film, where it's goofy and like not of this world, but also like in this world. And I don't know. And the story itself, it's really interesting seeing it over like different spans of my life, because when this movie came out, I was around the age of like Scott Pilgrim, so I had like a different mentality of this film when it first came out compared to what I do now. But Ashley, you said you've seen it a million times.
I don't know if I'd say a million times, but you're pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like Michael Cera either as much. Like, I don't say I don't like him. I always found him to be kind of like not my type of actor, I guess. Not my style. But I mean, I liked him in this movie because I liked the characters coming to life, obviously, and like seeing them. I think that the exes are also my favorite part, because they're also different. You have Chris Evans, which is like insane. The reason to have him on a skateboard like that, he's not Tony Hawk. It was just really interesting and fun every time they brought up an ex.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, I mean, as an adult now, kind of for some reason, Undertale comes to mind, like the game wise. Like, it feels like you're in another world, but you're not really, like, you're just like a different part. And it's fun. I like it. Yeah.
I like that this movie doesn't explain a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's just like, deal with it. And you're just like, I don't really want to know anymore. No. Like the whole, Interstellar Highway thing or whatever, that she travels when she does her UPS job.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
on roller skates.
Yeah. And then she's like, there's a door over here. And you're like, what? And then like, they just don't ever talk about it. And you're,
yeah. Okay. Also, Ben called her his girlfriend and like, not really, you know?
Yeah. It's,
like, no, Knives is technically.
Yeah. It's a troublesome movie. It's very interesting, especially if Scott Pilgrim has been brought up again lately, because a film has come out recently that's called Licorice Pizza. And it's, if you don't know what a licorice pizza is, it's a record, because a record looks like a pizza made out of licorice. You know, very deep.
It's very old.
But the movie, this new movie, is about like a like late 20s woman dating like a late teens male. And so there's like a lot of issues with like age and everything. And that's like one of the big issues with this movie with Scott Pilgrim at the beginning, where he's 22 dating a 17-year-old.
And in Canada, that's legal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird. But it's also like, I don't know how to describe it, because it's like, you know that he's not going to do anything grody about it. It's more of him just being like a dumbass.
Yeah, just like he wanted his girlfriend, basically.
Right. And also, I don't think this movie is actually like, some of the characters are like, ooh, good job. But I don't think this movie is actually glorifying it. It's still being like, Scott, you're gross.
Yeah.
And so like,
his roommate's very open.
Yeah, I think the majority of the movie, like, people are like, what the fuck are you doing dating a high schooler? Why are you doing
that? Yeah, the only two people that are into it are Styles and what's his name? The other bassist.
Is it not Dean or new Dean?
Young Dean? Neil. Young Neil.
Yeah.
Neil. I don't know why I was thinking Dean.
Stills and Neil. They're just like, cool. And it's like, no, dude. And then, you know, Aubrey Plaza's character is like, no, dating a high schooler is your mourning period. Like, you're still, you know, being a sleazeball.
That's his sister?
No, that's Stills' girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, okay.
She's the one that has a job at, like, every place.
Yeah, that's right. He's like, you work here, too? Yeah, and he just, like, lets it go, like, every time? Yeah. I've seen this movie kind of pop up again, too, on, like, TikTok and stuff, the social media platforms that I'm on. I know we're on the same platforms, but differently. Mm-hmm. But, like, I always remember the scene, and I love it so much. I think they did a really good job of when he falls out the window. She's like, hey, is he here?
Yeah.
He's like, is who here? And, like you know, it's so funny. He, like, jumps out the window. He's like, he just actually left. I just think it's fun. I think they did a good job. I think it's always fun to see it, like, when they wake up in the bed. And it's his roommate, and his roommate's, like, one-night stand.
Yes.
And they don't really talk about it. You know what I mean? I think it's always fun.
And then it's, like, his roommate, his one-night stand, his boyfriend, the boyfriend's ex-boyfriend at one point. Like, there's, like, five people.
It's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the movie is when they go to the Clash of Demon Head show, and that's when Knives shows up after they like broken up and she's gone all like hipster. And then they're just like, what is she doing here? And then he's got that little wheel in his head where it's like, I have to pee, and who her? And then he's like, I have to pee on her. I mean, I have to pee. I fucking love that. I laugh at it every time because that sounds like, that sounds like my stupid brain where I just be like, I have to pee on her. What am I saying? I don't know what's happening.
There's another visual one that gets me along the same vein, in which she comes over to watch them play at their house for the first time, and he's like, hey, here, let me get your jacket. And then he just throws it on the floor.
Yeah, there's so many of those. That's so good. Like, that's why this movie's also worth a rewatch. I've watched this a million times myself just because I love the music. This is like my one of my emo movies when I'm like in a bad mood and I like want to feel good but also feel bad. Like, that's what this movie does for me. Is it's got like positive vibes, but it's also like, you're a piece of shit, like become a better person. So like, that's what I like to watch. And then also it's a comfort movie where it's like, I'm sleepy and I want to watch something but I don't want to like pay attention to it. So I'll just throw that on and I'll fall asleep within a couple of minutes because it's a very soothing beginning. So
yeah, I like the, I also like you mentioned music. I like the Black Sheep song, his ex.
Yeah,
I love that song. I play it in my car all the time. They did a really good job, I think. I think the game does too. I've seen like some of the stuff they done, like covers in the game. That was really cool. Yeah, I mean, I really liked it. Watching it again today, I watched parts. I didn't actually watch the whole movie because I've seen it a bunch of times, but I watched my favorite parts. Like when like you punched her highlights out of her hair. I think that when that movie first came out, I probably wasn't like, I think it was 2010. I was like 11. So I didn't get to like watch it when it first came out. But when like coming of age movie, I guess, like you watch it when you're old enough. And me and my friends loved it. And we would quote it all the time. And it was always like just making jokes, the vegan police or any, you know, that stuff. That stuff, those jokes still reign to me today. And I think that that's a big deal. Like movies that stick with you, if they're good or bad, but this is obviously like a good one. So yeah, I really liked it. I'm glad that we all had that experience together.
Yeah, I'm very happy that we could all watch this and finally get Ben in on it too. Because one, it's Edgar Wright. Like you, you don't really. I mean, it's in his name. You can't go wrong with Edgar Wright.
Wow.
But I don't know. Like this also, this whole movie is just star studded. But before any of them really had like big traction.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Like, I mean, how many of them are like comic book heroes now? A lot of them. I mean, one of them, the vegan was Superman.
Yeah.
We got Captain America in there. We got Captain Marvel in there.
Yeah.
So yeah, Captain America. I'm an idiot. Chris Evans was actually filming the first Captain America movie when this film released. Like, he didn't, because they like originally released it at Comic-Con. Like, they did the first showing there, and like, there was a whole joke because Michael Cera wore a Captain America costume just to kind of show why Chris Evans wasn't there, because he was in the middle of filming his first Marvel movie. Like, he got it right after this movie. Like,
it is, yeah.
I'm not going to say that his performance was, like, the best ever in this movie. I think all the, it was good, but it wasn't like, if I saw him, I would have been like, yep, that's right there is Captain America, you know?
I wanted to see all those other movies that he was starring in, like the that trailer where it's like, the next click you hear is me hanging up. The one after that is me pulling the trigger. And I'm just like, yes, I want to see whatever that is.
Yeah. That's
such a good line.
On Spike TV.
I think that
I think that's because like this was like the last movie of this caliber, like in this tone that he ever did. Because I think once he got Captain America, he immediately started getting way different roles. Like, I think the closest he's come to since then is maybe his character in Knives Out, and even then, I think
once you become, like, the super fit guy in Hollywood, you don't get those roles anymore. They're like, you know what we need you for? Anything else.
It's such a far stretch from, like, seeing him in Not Another Teen Movie, which is, like, a guilty pleasure now. Like, you watch that movie, like, I'm a bad person for hitting play on this movie, but it's also just really funny because it's so stupid. And then, like, his character in that. And like, what is happening? And then now you see him and you're like, oh, he's supposed to, like, stand for all... Like, he's, like, a good guy now. Like, a real good guy. And I don't know. It's weird.
Which was your favorite ex?
Oh, man. I can tell you which is my least favorite, and that's the twins.
Really?
Yeah. just because I felt like that whole like Battle of the Bands thing was just kind of a little weak, even though it's like the biggest. It feels like you don't get as much information with them. That's just it, you know?
Yeah.
So they're like the weakest out of all of them just because they don't have as much backstory. I really like, is his name Todd, the third one, the vegan. I think he's really funny with the hair and
it's, yeah, he's good.
How does becoming vegan give you telekinetic powers? You know how you only use 10% of your brain. It's so good. That and also I like Jason Schwartzman. Like I like him. I've always liked him in almost anything he's done, and so his character in this is really funny.
I agree. He's one of the ones that he gets to actually have a conversation with mid battle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like those scenes where he can be like, "What are we doing right now? Why are we doing this? Mm-hmm. What's happening?" And I just think those are fun moments, especially when like you can have an action packed movie that's not so serious, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's fun. How about you, Tyler?
He likes Todd.
He also hates Todd.
Thumbs down from the peanut gallery.
Oh wow!
Double thumbs down and a phone drop.
Wow. Okay, he's canceled. Ben, what about you?
Benjamin.
Oh. I think my favorite ex has to be Matthew. Oh Patel, yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
I think because for one, his sequence is just hilarious, especially when he does like the Bollywood dance, and then like the hipster demons come out and start dancing with him. Like I just thought that was hilarious. But then, on top of that, like that's just a really good setup for what the rest of the movie is going to be. Like you realize how ridiculous this is, and how like oh like they're her exes, but they all dated in like middle school, and it was like a week to a month at a time. Like, oh, this is ridiculous. This whole thing is just going to be ridiculous. So.
I feel like he's the most ridiculous out of all of them because of his powers that he has. For sure. And then I love that part where he starts the song and Anna Kendrick is just like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like your reaction when he's just starts singing and dancing and you're just like, what the fuck is happening? Mm-hmm. And then the people in the thing are like,
yeah, and everyone's just like, cut this.
And then I also like, everything that Wallace does with his little jokes.
He's so funny.
Where he just keeps like yelling and everything. And then that one guy was like, he's like, hey, ask him what's going on with his outfit. And he's like, yeah, is he a pirate?
Yeah. And he's just like, pirates are in this.
And I love that because like, if when you look at his outfit, it's not necessarily pirate, but if you try to describe it, the only word you could think of is pirate. And so like, I was just like, yes, exactly. Like he's not a pirate. But there's nothing else that looks piratey than, I guess, like a red striped shirt and the boots and the pants.
Yeah, I think that this movie is almost hyper self-aware. You know what I mean? Like, there's like Anna Kendrick, like you mentioned, it like carries like the audience in a way. She's like, you know what? This doesn't seem right. I like her also. That's a sister.
Yeah.
This whole time, that's a sister. Yeah. It's somebody famous that's funny. It's her. I think that she's cool in the movie because it makes you feel like you're like, what is happening right now? And she's like, what the fuck? You know, it makes it more fun, I think.
It is, yeah. And then even like with Aubrey Plaza's character, when she starts yelling at him and cursing at him, but it keeps bleeping it out. And he's like, how are you doing that with your mouth?
Yeah.
And she's like, don't fucking worry about it.
And then they keep up the gag the rest of the
It's so good.
Like whenever they're in the club or whatever. Yeah. I think one of my favorite jokes was, I think it was Kieran Culkin's character, the Wallace Wells. Whenever he, like he'd be like, "Don't tell anybody," and then like immediately it cuts to his sister calling, and then like he's on the phone, and at one point he's passed out drunk, and then he just have cuts to
oh, he's texting it.
Yeah,
somehow
he texted it while unconscious.
Yeah, I think Kieran Culkin's his character is my favorite in the movie because just his whole thing is just indifference. Like he just does not give a shit.
He has his own things going on.
He's just there, and his vibe is.
Yeah, he doesn't care about like the whole Evil X thing, but he does care that Scott's like upset, and like when Scott is really sad, he does his best to help him, but he knows that Scott has to like figure it out for himself.
He's like his dad.
To a point, because he's like, yeah, buddy, I'm really hoping that you can stay with her because I kind of need you to move out. I'm an asshole, so maybe this will work out. So that way, I don't have to be a dick about it.
And then it's like, maybe you should use the L word, and he's like, lesbian.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Lesbians. It's love, Scott. I'm not trying to trick you.
And then when he seduces Scott's sister's boyfriend. Yeah,
it's also good. Yeah, there's very few flaws. And for this, I went back and I think I've watched the deleted scenes before, but it was even more fun watching them this time. It's been a while since I forgot a lot of them.
Yeah.
But it just like expands a lot of those. And so like one of them is like the Crash and the Boys, like their songs, you know, they're like super fast. And like the second one where it's like, "We hate you, please die." It's just like, it is them just saying like, "We hate you, please die." And it's over again. And then Wallace is like, "Woo." And then like the last song is actually called like, "Everybody in this, like at this venue is going to die." And like, then they play like that next song and it's like really crazy sounding. And I was like, man, they could have added, that was only like 10 more seconds. They could have added a little bit more Crash in the Boys. Is that girl a boy too?
Yeah.
Maybe they just didn't want to overdo it because like they had two pretty solid jokes with them.
What were the flaws? You mentioned flaws.
Flaws? Like deleted stuff?
No, I mean, you're talking, let's talk about, let's do our job. Oh. Let's compare the game and the movie.
Well, I have never actually finished the game because it's very tough to do single player.
Mm.
It's like most brawlers, side-scrolling brawlers, it's easier with more people because then they can take on multiple stuff. Actually, right before we started recording, Tyler and I were in there and Tyler watched me beat the first boss, which is Matthew Patel,
mm-hmm.
on my first try without any lives, because that's the other hard part about a brawler is you have to get through the whole level and then fight a boss, and if you die, you have to start at the beginning, and, you know, sometimes it takes all four of your lives just to get to the boss, and then you're like, well, what am I going to do? And so I had to try really hard not to die, and I did it.
Nice. It was cool. I'm proud of you.
Thank you. It was tough. But it's a really fun game as a brawler goes. Like, it's got some things that are a little bit different. It's got, like, dash buttons, which a lot of them don't have dash. And one of the things that's a little bit different than most brawlers is it has like this persistence mechanic where after you kill enemies, they drop coins. You pick up those coins and you can use that to purchase things. And there's a particular level that's like a street full of shops. And so you can always backtrack and go back to that level, back to those shops and then buy things, but you still have to like kill all the guys that are on that street because they'll still be attacking you. But you can like buy like either health items, or there are some like really expensive permanent upgrades that give you like higher strength and stuff to do better attacks.
Yeah, but, to your stats. Mm-hmm. I've seen the four stats and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other thing that's a little bit different is most brawlers, when you have use your special move, it actually takes some of your health and you get that health back by attacking. And this, you just have a magic meter and that's where you do your special attacks. So.
Which is nice.
Yeah. So.
And the magic explains a lot more, I think.
Yeah. And then there's like hidden parts in all the levels. Like there's two hidden parts on the level that I did where you take that highway and they're usually just like places where you can get more coins, where it one of them looked kind of like a Mario level where it had like big blocks that had question marks on them and you punch them until all the Canadian quarters come out.
Canadian, yeah. I've heard that there's other video game references within the movie and the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably one of those things.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever actually play the game. I'm not really big into like side-scrolling like brawlers, I guess. But I think it is interesting because I like the movie so much. I think otherwise, I don't see anybody playing that game just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
You know, like I think you'd have to know about the movie to want to play the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, so is it because like that's where I was confused. Like, is it based more upon like the graphic novel or does it take more from the movie? Because like that's like this stuff is like so weirdly connected yet disconnected at the same time. Because like you said earlier, like the movie does take a lot of influence, like so much influence that like it's not just like an adaptation almost, like it's more like an homage. So
I think
like, where do you think you draw the line
there? The game was made after the movie, but they came out at the same time.
Yeah, I think the game is based more on the movie than the comics. Just the art style is based on the comics. Mm-hmm. So it straddles the line between the two.
So none of y'all have read the graphic novels, have you?
No.
No, I never held a physical one in my hand. I've had seconds, so I've seen this art style. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I know what his like big thing is.
And what's also kind of cool and a little bit of a coincidence for us deciding to do that this week, but I think it was just yesterday the news dropped that what's his name? O'Malley, the creator. Is it
Brian?
Brian O'Malley.
I think so.
He is going to be the co, Netflix is producing a animated Scott Pilgrim show.
Oh wow!
And what'd you say his name was?
O'Malley.
Yeah.
Brian
O'Malley.
Brian.
Wanting to say Bruce. I don't know why I want to say Bruce.
Brian.
Bruce Willis.
Is it because his middle name is Lee.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Wow. Moving along.
Yeah. Wait, I almost said Bruce Lee again.
the guy.
Brian Lee O'Malley is one of the showrunners for it. So he's going to be working hand-in-hand with Netflix, creating this animated show that's most likely, obviously not going to follow the movie. It's going to follow his comics. So that's really exciting. I can't wait to check that out.
Yeah, I hope it's going to be in the same art style then. Because I saw when I was doing research on the game development that they wanted to go along with. They didn't make the main character look like Michael Cera. They made it look like more like O'Malley's drawings. They had the choice. They could have gone full movie. They didn't do that on purpose. I'm hoping that not that they didn't do a good job, I think, in the game. I think this will stick closer to the material, the source material.
Yeah. I'm sure it will, because it's more... Where the game is more, I think, story beat wise, hits where the movie's at, and the movie is taking the entire series and putting it together into 1 2-hour experience, which I think it does a good job of that too.
Yeah,
because it could have definitely overstayed its welcome in some spots, and it feels like it keeps on moving, and by the time it's over, you're like, does it really have to be over? I kind of wanted to see more happen.
Yeah, I want to say something that might be controversial here, but I think that this movie, although it is basically all about Ramona Flowers, you know very little about her the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, the least amount possible. You know that she goes through vortexes and she delivers mail and she's cool. But that's, it, period. And she has the exes, obviously. But I think that you don't know a lot about her. I think that you probably do get more in the comics, probably. You almost have to. It's fun that you don't know a lot about her. Don't get me wrong, but I feel like they could have been at least, a little bit more in there, you know?
Isn't that part of the mystique of Ramona, though, that she is mysterious and cool? Isn't that the whole gimmick of her, is that you're not supposed to know a lot about her?
Yeah, I mean, they kind of touch on that at the end, like he kind of made her into a bigger thing than she was, in a way. Do you know what I mean?
That
because my whole thing is this is supposed to be a lot of this for me felt like this is Scott's perception too. I know that this world is stylized and very much fictional and insane, but at the same time, this is all through Scott's perspective, and so for him, this is just literally his dream girl. So I thought there was just supposed to be an air of mystique around her that you're not really supposed to know a lot. She came from New York, that's one of the things you heard about her. And so I think the only stuff that the only thing that we know about her is the stuff that we heard from that party at the beginning, and I think that was supposed to be the point of it, unless I'm wrong. And I also, the comics delve more deeply into her character. There's that too. But
I think that'd be a really easy explanation for them just not having enough time to delve into every character, because it feels like every character but Scott is a little hollow, just because there are so many characters and so little time to get more than just this is their personality. Mm-hmm. Even Wallace, how great he is, there's not much backstory in him. His backstory is he's gay.
He's a gay roommate.
Right. Yeah. So there's not much more than that. Because there's even that whole scene where Scott shows Knives the house he grew up in, which is across the street, and then they never talk about that again. So you're like, is Scott's parents still so there?
Where? Yeah.
So
are his parents dead?
Right, yeah. And so you don't...
I think that, I mean, you get that vibe kind of because his sister takes care of him a little bit.
Yeah. And we don't know where she goes, because the only time you ever see her is at the coffee shop. Mm. And then, Stills, with him, the only thing you know is he's in an on-and-off relationship with Julie, and that's all you really know about her. So, and then with Kim, you don't know until halfway through the movie that, they dated once, and he broke up with her because she has freckles. So...
It's rough, man.
It's really... I don't think they just had time, and so you could definitely write it off just saying this is Scott's, or this is what all that Scott cares about, but I think it's mostly just there wasn't time, and also it's not really needed, because the story isn't about every character. It's just about this romance, and the romance means more than just like being in love. It's also like Scott growing up and stop being like an idiot. I mean, he's still an idiot, but it's like before it was all about like he dated people because of like what they brought for him. And then it was more like, what can he be for other people now? Cause that's the same thing with the band. Like whenever they all broke up for that part, it was like, no, I'm not going to be a part of this. Like, you know, this, there's nothing for me in this. And they're like, well, there's stuff in here for me. It's a whole contract. That's what I've been working for. So it's mostly just seeing an asshole turn into a decent person through a lot of work. But also I would say, to be fair, maybe he should have gone through a little bit harder situation, because it does feel like he's just kind of like handed. Like, that's the whole thing with the Nega Scott at the end. That's supposed to be him like conflicting with himself over like being a bad person. And they didn't, like, with that, it's just they become friends with, like, he becomes friends with himself. So I think that could have been, there's some deleted scenes where Nega Scott like appears a couple of times. And like reflections.
That's smart.
So it's a little bit more like of a haunting. Like,
that makes sense.
Yeah, because like he did come out of like, nowhere at the end of that phone.
For sure.
Yeah, like there's only the like foreshadowing of that arcade game at the beginning. But like there's a scene where it's, I think it's the same one in the Envy, the rock where he goes to the bathroom, he's washing his hands, he looks in the mirror and Nega Scott's looking at him. And then the next one is when they're at the after party at that same night, and he looks, like, after he's ordering a drink, he looks across the bar and sees Nega Scott's reflection after, and that's, like, that's the time that he's, like, really being an asshole to Ramona. And so then he's, and that's when he's, like, you know, sorry, I'm being an asshole. And she's, like, hey, you know, don't worry about it. And then he continues. It's, like, it's kind of like him glimpsing the dark side in himself. And so it, that would have been kind of cool. And they weren't very long scenes. They should have stayed in there, I think, a little bit. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the 10 extra seconds probably would have been helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because, like, just, this movie didn't even run super long. So, I mean, compared to other movies, especially around 2010, like, I felt like they could have added some of that stuff.
I think maybe if it was made today, it would have been way more focused on, like, the inner conflict of being a good person. 10 years ago, maybe not so much. It was more like the entertainment value of it. Because, like I said, when I was 22, I was going through a hard breakup at the time. That's where I would, like, I was in Scott's head with this, and I was just like, "Yeah, dude, like, who cares? Go do whatever you want. Like, it doesn't matter." And then, like, now that I'm older, I'm like, "Oh yeah, like, you got to think about even when people have hurt you, you have to think how, you know, you don't want to carry that burden of pain and put that on somebody else. You want to, you know, make sure that your pain doesn't become somebody else's." So it's just interesting seeing this from a different perspective years later.
Yeah. I was more interested, I think, also in, like, people around him and how they responded to him.
Yeah.
All the time. I thought that was interesting too. And I mean, I guess there is a disconnect with his, like, glow up at the end, I guess. Like, you're kind of right. It does feel kind of like he really didn't do anything to change, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that too, thinking about that. Like, I guess I never put much focus into his character, which is weird because he's, like, the main character. But to me, man, I was interested in the exes. I was interested in Ramona. I was interested in Knives. I like Knives a lot, and it sucks because, like, everyone hates on her.
Yeah,
but she's great. Cool. Yeah, she's cool. Yeah,
she's,
and she's very supportive.
She's the villain of the narrative, but, like, it's one of those things where, like, the narrative is Scott's, and Scott is an asshole. So it's, like, anybody who can objectively look at this be like, no, you're being the asshole. Situation, like, she's clearly being wronged here. You're treating her like shit, and you're using her, and then you dumped her as soon as somebody else came along. So it's a really interesting storytelling, because you're just getting, like, I forget there's a specific term for it, but it's basically like the narrator's judgment is clouded, and you know that, but they don't. So they're
unreliable narrator.
Yeah, unreliable narrator. Right. Yeah. So you're just like, it's where the audience knows that, or can be more objective about the situation, and it's perceived differently, and it's really interesting. But yeah, I also agree with you guys that, like, it just, like, he did not change at all until he died, and then they just kind of went back through and did that, like, less than, like, 2 minute, like, recap where he went and apologized to everybody. He's like, all right, I'm a way better person now. And I think that was mostly just because they needed to wrap up the story a bit better, but it did felt really much like almost like a MacGuffin, like it was just handed to him to end the story. So it did feel a little rushed. But
do you also kind of feel like, for me personally, that first time around whenever he is confronted with Ramona and Knives and he's like, they're like, wait, did you cheat on me with her? And he's like, no, I cheated on her with you. And she's like, well, what's the difference? And so like it feels like he is actually getting like kind of what he deserves in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then the second time around when he learns the power of self-respect and he gets up there and he's like, yeah, like I messed up. Like I did something bad. And they're both just like, okay.
Yeah. I think the better ending would have been if like neither of them ended up being with him and like he just learned to be with himself more and he got more self. I think that would have been, because I thought that's where they were going with it, and then he still ended up with Ramona at the end, which I kind of understand because I feel like it would have been a bit unsatisfying for some people to watch this movie and watch him fight 7 ex-boyfriends and then him not end up with the girl, so I kind of get it. But
there's an alternate ending where he actually says goodbye to Ramona and she leaves. And he walks away arm in arm with Knives.
I don't know. I think I'm looking at this with the Looking for Alaska perspective, where like you can have a hero go for a girl the whole movie and then it does not work out because it was something that he put in his head. And that was his whole character to me, was that he made this whole Ramona thing up, basically, even for Knives, create a whole narrative for them. And he thought he was the hero, all these things. He goes to the girl and this doesn't end up with her. I mean, that to me would have been more satisfying than what ended up. Because Looking for Alaska, you learn a lot more.
Did you read the book or did you watch the show?
I did both.
Okay.
I did both. I like John Green.
I think I read another one. But yeah, I didn't watch the show, but I read the book.
Is it Hank Green or is it John Green?
It's John Green.
John Green.
John Green.
Okay, because Hank Green's the other one. And he has a book too that I have read.
Okay.
Hank Green does do science. He also has a book about becoming an influencer because the Transformer is landing on the planet. Oh. Anyways.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's a perfect movie, but it is a perfect movie.
It's great.
Yeah, it's doing what it's meant to be doing, which is entertaining, and it's not really supposed to be a think piece. And I think that's where the
here we are.
The decade difference would have been as if it was now, it definitely would have delved deeper into being like what we would have known more about every character. It probably would have been less of a musical. Do you consider this movie a musical?
I don't.
I almost wanted to just because the Patel part.
But that was more just like a reference to like Bollywood films more than anything else.
This whole movie was referenced to something else.
I feel like for it to classify as a musical, everybody that's viewing the song that's happening would have to be into it. Like, they're not having that disconnect of, like, what the fuck is going on? It's more of a, like, hey, we're all involved. This is happening in our world, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I wouldn't classify it as a musical, but I would classify it as a movie with music pieces in it. So kind of like maybe Rock of Ages, but Rock of Ages is also super shitty.
Well, Rock of Ages is a musical, though. Like, it was a Broadway musical.
I know, but still. I don't know.
It was a legit musical. No, I know what you're saying. But I think the difference is like, this is literally a setting where these are bands, and they play music, and so they're musicians playing music. Like, I don't think that's the same thing necessarily as a musical. Like, I can see where it kind of blurs the line, but also this movie, like, when I was reading stuff, like, so many people were calling this movie just like a genre bender, like, and I guess that makes sense. Like, the term that I found really funny was somebody called this a romantic action comedy, which I don't know necessarily if that applies, but that's why I called it rom-com in my intro blurb, because I just thought it was really funny because it just seems like such a weird label to put on this thing. But
I think it's a rom-com. I think, I mean, it's a little bit of everything, but it's a comedy and it's about a romance, so that sounds like rom-com to me.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you're like, yeah, this movie does fall under that title, like, get over it. Like, imagine me if they had the same kind of PR firm that was working for Deadpool, you know how Deadpool, when that one first came out, like Ryan Reynolds was trying to market that as a Valentine's Day movie, and it kind of technically does fall under that. Like, it gives me those same sort of vibes.
It's kind of like Shaun of the Dead, where it's considered a zom-com.
Yeah.
It's a zombie romance comedy.
Yeah.
Zom-com. Yeah.
Do we consider Disney movies musicals?
Yeah.
No, we wouldn't. Like, hold on.
Wait,
when Encanto came out, did we call that a musical?
Would you ask?
Because they sing a couple times?
If Disney movies are musicals.
Yeah, they're musicals.
And I would say yes.
Yeah. Because look at the live-action Mulan and the cartoon Mulan. Like, one is clearly a musical and one is not.
And then just look at, like, Lion King versus Toy Story. That's...
Yeah, I could see that now.
Yeah, like, some of
them...
They
don't sing a Nemo.
The only song, like... There are, like, songs in those movies that, like, you got a friend in me, but that's not, like, Buzz Lightyear walking around singing, you got a friend in me.
Right. Same with Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing back where it came from, or So Help Me.
Yeah. Now, that is a musical.
That is where you're
from. Yeah. I think this movie is good, period. I think the game is good, period.
The music for the game, the band is Automata Gucci.
I saw that.
And they do a lot of, like, chiptune music, and it's very good music to listen to, like, when you're studying or doing something, because it's not, there's not, like, there might be lyrics-y ones, but I don't think I've ever heard any, but, like, specifically, they did the entire album for the game, and it rules, so.
I saw them, heard them the first time on Pandora, because I was studying. I'd be at, like, my vo-tech school, and I would do video game music, but a lot of times they would come up and be like,
"Yeah, it's super good." And that a lot of the song that the intro song to the game and then the menu song are just stuck in my head from all those years ago. Because when this movie came out, I was in my apartment from my like second or third year of college, and so I was playing this game and watching this movie just over and over and over and over, and so. Now all those songs from everything is just in my brain forever, rotting it away.
Yeah. This movie is one of the ones that we consider that I would probably go back and watch it. I mean, I did watch it again right after I saw it, like, the next day. Because I was like, I want to see it again. Like, I just want to watch it again. The same thing with, like, recent movies. I didn't do that before. Like, that's not, like, a normal thing for me. I don't usually watch movies twice. Sometimes I watch a movie one time, and that's my whole life. Like, I saw it once, I'm good. This is one of the few movies that I can watch again. And I'll, like, seek it out. And to me, that's a really high rating. So,
yeah, you always find something either that you've missed or like there's a lot of little jokes in there, a lot of little sight gags like around. There's just so many. I think that this movie really has a big influence on my humor in general. Just like a lot of
what humor,
a lot of things. Like I love the hey, this thing claims I have mail. Like I definitely feel like Scott Pilgrim in a lot of that stuff because he just doesn't know how things work.
And that's 2010 tech. Also,
yeah, I know. And it's like, hey, is it Amazon? He's like, what's Amazon.ca? And it's like
Amazon.ca.
And then, are you waiting for the package? Which totally feels like me because I've been sitting here waiting for my PS5 for 2 days, and so I'm like, yes, I'm sitting by the door. I want my package already. Also. That in the blooper, they have a blooper reel on the DVD, and
you on the DVD?
Yes. Michael Cera actually did that whenever he throws his package over his shoulder into the trash can. He did that for real, and it took 33 takes.
Oh wow!
Yeah. And then there's like a little bit longer portion of that too, but I was glad that that cut down a little bit. But yeah, there's I don't know. I'm probably going to watch this movie again tonight before I go to bed, to be honest.
I think it's pretty also. I think that a lot of times when like, a movie's focusing so much more on something else, in this case, it's like relevancy to its source material in a way. I think that it is also, it tries to be quirky because it is. So they had to try to do that. You know, it's not like they're trying too hard. It's just they had to try to be quirky and be fun and be interesting. Because it's not just Michael Cera going, this would be fun. Ha. No, like they're script writers. I think that this movie, besides that, is very pretty. I think they did a good job with, like, getting, you know, and when they're out in the snow, honestly, like, I really like that scene. It's really pretty. I think it's really nicely done. I think when they're out into the bars and stuff, like, those places can be really dimly lit and hard to do. And I don't know the budget for this. Ben, what's the budget?
I think it was I think it was 85 million.
They had the money.
Yeah.
No, never mind, they're good. But I think they did a good job either way. I don't think that they saw this as an opportunity to slack off, because this would be very niche also. It wasn't like they, I don't think that they would expect people to be like, I'm gonna go see that right now. So I think they did a really good job with creating the movie and seeing it all the way through.
I think I'd be remiss to also mention how good the action scenes are. Like, there are some like quick cuts here and there, but for the most part, there are some like longer choreographed shots that are really like satisfying to watch. Even like, whether it's a stunt double or like, even there's a couple of times where Michael Cera is actually doing some of the like sword work and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cool.
The stunt double thing could have been a joke, but carry on.
Yeah, I know. but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
That actually, when I was watching the fight with Lucas Lee, the second evil ex-boyfriend, in my head I was like, this guy who is Captain America, a comic book hero, has worse fight scenes in the Marvel movies mm-hmm. than he has in this movie, just because the choreography is like, it's pulled back, and then also it's got that jokey little like the punch, you know, bamps every time somebody gets punched, it says like thwack and stuff. And so that's going on, and you don't even really notice it until you're like, oh, it's happening. But I don't know. I just really enjoyed all the fight choreography as well. And then when Ramona and Roxy are fighting, that's a pretty cool fight.
Yeah.
Ramona's giant hammer she just pulls out of her little handbag.
Yeah.
Rad.
That's dope. Such a good yeah. game. They did a good job with them, the female characters too. I didn't feel like any female character was necessarily left out. Thought they were all cool. Even the
X
was cool.
Yeah, none of the female characters except for Knives feels like not I wouldn't say weak, because Knives at the end when she comes in with those big ass swords and
yeah,
her cool ass like black clothes that she's wearing, but then the big scarf, she just looks rad flying in, and she's actually using the scarf as like a weapon and stuff.
She's
too.
She's the little ninja frog from Pokemon at that moment.
Yeah, for well, sure.
Like Knives actually has like character growth in the movie. Too, because like at the end of the movie, like yeah. she realizes that she doesn't like, because I think she was dating Scott partially because, you know, he was older, he was in a band, like she was obsessed with the band, but then she by the end of the movie like, she literally says, I'm too cool for you, because I think she really came into her yeah. own and she really like got a lot of self-confidence and stuff like that, and you could really see that reflected yeah. in the final fight scene too.
I want to say that it's okay, and I wasn't trying to say that like all female characters weren't represented well. I think it's okay for female characters to have it's okay for female characters to have room to grow.
Yeah.
So if they're having like, if they're being basically disrespected the whole first part of the movie, it's probably because they need to have a way to go up later.
You know, well, it's the reverse for Envy / Natalie too, because she's yeah. like, her whole thing is like, you learn through Scott, like how she hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, like she kind of has a realization like, oh shit, like I've been a total bitch for a year.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, you kind of did, like, you know, you did things too, you're not above this, and
right,
so she kind of gets that. There is one of the deleted scenes is how Knives and Scott meet, which is funny because that's one of the jokes in the movie, is like, me and my mom are on a bus, and they're like, is that seriously the end of the story? So they actually show it, and it's Knives and her mom on the bus, and her mom's like, you need to start dating somebody. Like, you need to meet somebody. And she's like, I don't want to date anybody. And she's got all these textbooks, and she accidentally drops them. And they say things like really hard math and stuff on the textbook. Like, it's just like yeah. really funny, like what they say.
Uh-huh.
And then Scott like helps her, picks up the books, and he's like, hey, you're going to be okay. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's like, is that really the end of the story? Like, it's literally, she just met him on the bus. Like,
yeah,
that's it. So
Canadians, you know?
Yeah.
They can do it. Anyways. Tyler. did you have any character that you felt particularly fond of? Because you're in a band. You're our resident band person.
I am in a band. I really liked Kim. I like her fuck you personality. She's really funny, and I think she was probably not necessarily the comedic backbone, but the comedic backbone of like the band scenes, because I like Michael Cera, but I also don't like Michael Cera because his whole personality in every single one of his characters, oh, I'm awkward, I'm quirky, oh no, I play bass. So I like Kim because, like, side note, all of the people in this movie who were in Sex Bomb actually learned their instruments in like 6 months to play these songs and do the scenes and stuff. So it's really cool that they actually did that. But I also really like, what's the guitar player's name? I like Stills. He's funny. I like how anxious he is. But
would you play in this band if it was IRL and they're like, hey, we need you to cover, would you show up?
I would change a lot of things.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. They're,
he said, I'm the manager now.
No, it's just like they're disorganized and it's just the fact that like there's a couple things that they could do musically that would improve their sound a lot.
Okay.
I don't know. But yeah, I like Kim. I like Stills. But yeah.
I love Tyler's energy. He's like, no, I'm fucking too good for those guys. I'm coming there and make them better.
It's like, heck no. They need
I think Beck has a thing or two to say about your analysis of his songs that he wrote.
Beck wrote these songs?
Yeah.
The artist?
Yes.
I love Beck. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
He's got some good stuff. Who's Blackbird Beck? Chain? I'm sorry. In the podcast now, please. I can't. I don't know if I can. I think me and you need to meet outside for a second. I'll send you some source material you can listen to. I'm going to send you some
Beck.
Music.
She's going to send you Beck music.
Beck's good.
I can't promise I'm going to listen to
it. No, you don't have an option.
Okay.
I'll send it to everybody.
Excellent. I don't care. I'm not going to listen to it either, but not because...
No, because I'm going to put you all in the car and we're going to get ice cream, quote unquote. What? But then you're actually going to listen to 4 hours of Beck. I'll be driving to Dallas and back. So
I will bail out of the car.
You're going to lock the damn doors on you.
I've got child lock in my back seat.
Why am I going to sit in the back seat?
Maybe you'll be a CP boy.
CP.
You're going to have to put a bunch of Benadryl or something.
Benadryl.
And a biscuit if you're wanting me to fall asleep.
Biscuit?
I don't know. I was trying to think about food that would easily have
911, I would like to report a murder. Oh, you can't pack a biscuit with Benadryl.
I just figured that would be the easiest way, you know?
I'm pretty sure that's poisoning somebody. Yeah, Tyler says yes. Ben?
Ben, what's your experience with biscuits and Benadryl?
I don't even know what question you were trying to ask me, Ashley.
Anyways, what's our rating for this movie?
Rating?
Oh.
I give it 2 thumbs way up.
I'm pretty sure it's a 1 through 5 or is it a 1 through 10?
Have we ever had a number rating system? I don't remember how this works.
Every episode.
Well, our rating system is so fucked up because we're a video game movie podcast, so it's supposed to be, does this work as a video game movie? But this doesn't really fall into that category per se, so...
How many true. Evil exes?
That's a good one.
Ooh, good. How many evil exes?
That's good.
I give it 6.5 evil exes.
Because you can't say 7?
Yeah, I don't know. It feels... I don't think I could ever give something a perfect score.
Yeah, I knew he was going to say that. I'm going to give it a 7 because I'm stupid. I don't know how to think about it. That
I give it a 6. It was good.
A 6?
It was good.
Okay.
He dropped it a whole X just because Michael Cera is in it. Maybe. Okay, Ben, who would you replace him with? Like, what would have made it like, I have to watch this movie?
So here's the thing. I'm going to be honest. I think he was perfect for this role because you're not supposed to like Scott, I don't think. Probably. Scott is an asshole, and you're supposed to know that he's an asshole. And I think Michael Cera, like, he works for that. I just don't like Michael Cera. I watched this movie because I was like, oh, I'm supposed to hate this character. It works with the movie.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't replace him. I wouldn't replace him.
Okay, good.
Like, yeah, no, yeah, he did his part. He showed up and he was like, all right, I'm the asshole today. I don't got to change nothing. I'm not even acting.
Yeah. What's your rating, Tyler?
6.
6. Tyler gave it a 6.
I'm not going to do any halvesies.
No halvesies.
Points or nothing.
Jesus.
You're welcome.
The music man has spoken.
It's because of the music, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's because the band.
Yeah, he thinks he can improve the music.
The music in this movie is honestly fantastic. I love it. Was it Brie Larson's character who had the Black Sheep song?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That song slaps.
It slaps.
Badass.
Also, I was going to mention this about the video game music, because when I was watching Jordan play it earlier, I noticed he was in this tunnel fighting these people, right? And the music when he was outside of the tunnel was kind of just regular, how you would normally hear it, not really any noise. But as soon as he went into the tunnel, there was this like little bit of grocery store reverb, and it was perfect.
Grocery store reverb.
That was the way I thought about it in my mind, because it's like, it's just enough reverb to be like, okay, this is making me think, okay, this is a big space. I'm hearing this music in a big space. It's a little bit far off, but it's still pretty present. You know what I mean? But as soon as he left that, it went back to being normal. So I think the sound design in the game is fantastic, just from that one example.
It actually makes a lot of sense.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why we hired Tyler Lurch as our audio engineer.
Ladies and gentlemen, audio engineer Tyler Lurch.
He also gets our groceries, so.
Grocery store reverb is his thing. Yeah.
That's actually an awesome band name.
Called
grocery
it.
Store reverb.
Call it.
Yeah.
All
right. I thought you were gonna like be like, yeah. No, there's a pedal that I have called grocery store reverb.
We use it sometimes in our music.
That would be awesome. I can't wait to watch the Netflix show. I hope it comes out soon.
Like, you'll, I know, at least be alive.
What? Well, God, don't jinx me.
That took a dark turn. Jeez.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Where did that come from? They might be pushed back because of the pandemic. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you never know. Also, you know, we live in Oklahoma. You can just get fucking blasted anywhere. Everyone's got shotguns in their cars. You never know. I'm always flipping people off because I got road rage. And just like,
I just got a complex. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I see a pickup and I'm like, all right, time to roll down my window.
Yeah. You know.
I'll petition to have your name added to the credits if you die. So.
To what? Oh, the show?
Uh-huh.
Okay. I thought you meant the podcast. Yeah, finally, someone's fighting for me. Weep. Okie dokie.
No.
What?
No, go ahead.
What? What's wrong with my weep okie dokie?
I've just never heard a more obvious segue.
What? It's time. It's an. What do you want me to do?
Clean
you want me to
up, do a... clean up, everybody. Clean up.
Just the like podcasting equivalent to like Midwesterners trying to leave somewhere.
Oh my God!
I better
end. Yeah.
I'll let you go.
Yeah, but anytime I've heard "I better let you go," then there's 30 more minutes of conversation on the phone, and you're like, "I thought you wanted me to go."
That's why I always say, "Okay, bye."
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, everyone just needs to take notes from Ashley. She is the king of quick
goodbyes. I do just say, "Yeah." Sometimes I'll just hang up. Yeah.
I just figured it was time to go. I didn't know if you wanted me to do like an Edgar Wright quick cut.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have any questions or comments, hit us up on our social medias at FMV Pod on both Instagram and Twitter.
Just kidding. Be sure to join us at Rodeo Cinema every month for our free cozy lobby watch parties.
Yum.
And guess what we're watching this month?
What?
Scott Pilgrim.
Yay! You liked it so much, we're watching it twice.
I did that just so if Ben didn't watch it for this episode, then he'd have to watch it for that. It was basically I was forcing him one way or the other.
I see.
So now I'm going to force him twice.
Yeah, I haven't watched it. I just looked at the poster. All of my commentary is just based.
Wait, which poster? The one that's got all the,
no, it's just
all
the
X's,
it's
or just
it's
him?
Just the one with Scott Pilgrim on the guitar in the red background.
You're like Envy, yes, that's the name of his guitar, right? Yeah. But yeah, you can follow us on our socials to know when that is, which again, it's the 25th at 7 o'clock at Rodeo Cinema.
And
Ben.
And if you haven't already, be sure to follow, subscribe, and rate the podcast, because that really helps us out. It gets us into the ears of more people, and please make it positive. If you got a negative comment, just maybe not. Just maybe keep it to yourself. Maybe just shout it out. You can just shout it out. You don't need to put it on to the internet where it lives forever.
You can go ahead and give us that low star rating. That's insult enough.
You could also just beat me outside if you don't.
Come fight
us. Cash me outside.
Come fight us.
No, I was going to offer a conversation and peace. Caught a vibe. Oh my God. At least I'll catch coronavirus. Anyways. We have to cut this now. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. Bye.
Oh my
God. Bye.
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 Smash that fucking like button.